Hello all, welcome to yet another episode of Cricket Unplugged. So in 2020, it was a pleasure for me to start this podcast and use this as an avenue to express my passion for the game. And me and my friend Suraj started it, and it's great to announce that we have completed 35 episodes and we are moving into 36th episode of the podcast Cricket Unplugged. And it's a really special episode on many counts. First, it's the first episode I'm doing in the new year. Hopefully, it's going to be better than the last year, 2020. And even more, to make it even more special, we have the guest in this show. So just a brief introduction before I hand over the mic to the guest. So she is Minati Desai. She has played for India. That's right. She has represented the country and played for India in one test and one day international. And recently she has released her book, She the Cricketer is the book name. And it's a fictional tale of an ardent and passionate cricket follower called Sonia, and her tale basically. So it's soon to be released across all prominent platforms like Flipkart, Amazon, from January 6th onwards. So it's without wasting any further time, it's my privilege and honor to welcome Minati Desai to my show. Welcome, Minati.
Thank you so much, Raghav. And I'm extremely delighted and feel very happy to share the platform with you. You especially, because you're such a passionate cricketer, as much as I have understood in last few conversations that I've had in last 1 week or so. And it's really amazing what you're doing for those who actually love cricket. And from time to time, you're introducing them to various things, various incidences, various personality. And I really want to congratulate you on that. And may you attain much more success. You already are successful, but may you have many more successes and 2021 be a fantastic year for you and your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So sure. Before I get to knowing more about you and your journey as a cricketer and post it, I would like you to let the listeners of Cricket Unplugged know what the book See the Cricketer is about. So it's always best to ask from the author themselves. So if you could describe the book for them. So,
Sure. So the title of the book, as you can see, it's She the Cricketer. Mm. And as we talk about the book, I would also want to share that it is released today in Kindle. So those of you who like to read on Kindle can go and have a look and read, and please share your views. How do you like it? So the book is about a girl, teenage girl. Her name is Sonia. And it's about her journey from her childhood till the time she stops playing. And there are certain circumstances on and off the field because of which she has to quit at a very young age of 24. So it's basically giving you an insight of what is happening in her life outside of the field, in cricketing life, you know. What she thinks is that cricket is only what is played on the ground, but eventually she gets to experience and realize that it's much more than what happens on the field. And eventually she decides to quit playing after creating and making many, many records. And it is unfortunate because she is a very passionate cricketer. And given a chance, she would have wanted to really go on playing. But later on in life, once she quits, she realizes that even though she had to give up because of certain reasons, the cricketer that she was, as in she the cricketer, the sports in her got her a certain character, a certain willpower, and how her sports background helped her in all phases of life. So this is a story that a sports person will always remain a sports person. A cricketer will always remain a cricketer. It is a cricketer does not mean somebody who just watches or plays, somebody who actually gets involved in any form, you know. Say, for instance, if we talk about you, if you haven't played any particular level, that does not matter because you love the game. So the love stays with you. So once a cricketer, always a cricketer. That is what is the story all about.
Yeah, it's fascinating and actually very intriguing from my point of view, actually, because we always admire and have that extra respect and love for people who have played cricket at any level. So, and the way you had explained this as well when we had interacted for the first time, you said that we both are equal because our love and passion we have for the sport is the same. So it doesn't
absolutely
matter.
Absolutely. I mean, I always say this, that there could be players who could not play up to a certain level, and there could be certain people who could never play at all. But that we cannot measure that somebody who did not play has love for the game any less than somebody who played. You know, the only difference could be the physical activity one gets involved with, but the love and the passion that you have. I mean, our entire country is so much in love with cricket. Why? Because people genuinely love cricket, and now women cricket is becoming so popular. Yes. So I really thought that I should take them through the journey of a female cricketer, and that was it. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. It is on the rise, women's cricket. So that's a real positive, and hopefully there'll be more cricket from a women's cricket perspective in 2021. So that's my personal hope as well. And I think it will happen. So getting into this episode. So I just wanted to know, as you have written a fictionalized, to a large extent, I think, a fictionalized tale of what you experienced as well when you started to take up the sport. So because why I asked this is the notion of becoming a cricketer for a woman in India was not that, the opportunity was not that high in the early 2000s. I think 2010-12 onwards, I think more young girls started to take up the sport after seeing Mithali Raj, Zulan Goswami. So them doing well, people started to consider this as a career option. So I just wanted to know from your perspective, personal journey, and through Sonia's journey as well in the book, See the Cricketer. I wanted to know what was the journey like, first of all, and what are the challenges you faced in attaining where you reached, as in you played for India as well. So could you take the business through the journeys, challenges,
sure. But at no point of time I would want to mix myself and Sonia. Like I said, it is a fictional character, and it remains so till the end of the story.
Okay.
But yes, you cannot take away the fact that I cannot deny that as Sonia was passionate, I am passionate about cricket, you know, whether I play or not today, the passion and the love is the same. So if I have to pour my feelings for you, other day I was talking to somebody in the interview, and I said the same thing, that I can't say I like cricket when I actually love it, right?
Yeah,
so my feelings for cricket is that I love the game, absolutely love it, you know. I mean, so much so that I dream about cricket even today, you know, in spite of my having left playing so many years back. And I'm an ardent follower of all the matches, everything. So it's you can say that it's in your blood, and that is how it is. And if you compare that with Sonia, then yes, she also was a very passionate cricketer and she loved the game a lot. But let's come back to me. And basically when I started playing, then not many women played, forget cricket, any other sports also they did not play. But fortunately, I am blessed to have parents who never, in those days, there was a lot of differentiation being done between a guy and a girl, you know, that a boy in the family will get more importance and the girls are told to do certain things. But I come from a background of people who were morally very high and who treated all three of us, me, sister, and my brother, with equality. And hence, we had the freedom and the privilege to do whatever we wanted to do. Now, it so happened that I just fell in love with the game. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, there's no, I played everything. I played a lot, many sports, but it was destined that I become a cricketer. And hence, you know, I just picked this game up. And and I'm very glad. Even in next birth, I would want to be a cricketer. Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, that is what it is.
Yeah, so I think...
If you wanted to know about my journey as a cricketer, then I was quite young when I got picked up for the Indian team, fortunately. And I got into the team, and the team went to England, and I could perform outstandingly. It was quite nice. And on national level, I made many records. There are many unbroken records which are still there. And there was something. I mean, it was, I just could not, as much as I wanted to, I could not continue, and I had to quit at 24. So 25 actually.
But I think from inspirational to a huge extent, because the fact that when you took up the sport, as you perfectly said, not women were allowed to even play sports. Forget half the
yeah game. Absolutely. I mean, and of all the, like, people would often ask my dad, of all the things, why cricket? She can play TT, she can play badminton, like, you know, those were supposed to be feminine games. And a girl playing cricket with a hard ball was something which was completely not acceptable in the society. And probably I don't blame the society, because they had never seen anybody, you know, play as such. You know, not many women cricketers were seen. Also because the internet was not there. So all you could do is read about it. And that also, the coverage that the women cricketers got was probably just a 2-inch for a test match, or not even that much. And I mean, it was very, very difficult to really make people understand in those days. But yeah, like I said, fortunately, what happens is that if you're a sports person, and if you're passionately into it, and your family is not supportive, then it becomes a problem, you know. Because unlike today's people, or today's boys and girls, girls were far more conservative, and they would abide by what the parents are saying. But fortunately for me, I was always a free person, you know. I never had to really ask somebody what to do. I always did what I wanted to do. And once I discovered that I'm in love with the game, I just announced that I'm going to be a cricketer, and that's it. Yeah. And fortunately, like I said, my parents they knew that I'm a passionate girl, and once I decide something, I will not step back. So they just let me go. And initial days were so much of a struggle that I had never stayed out of the house. I had never traveled unreserved. I had never shared my room besides my sister, and in one room we used to be 16 girls, and sometimes we you know, probably have had puri and aloo before the match. It is so, if you really look at a healthy diet, then you know it was not so. But what I realized is that when you really are into something, when you really want to, you have a target in your mind, when you have passion about something, then these small tiny things don't matter. And you eventually are there. Yeah, that's what it is. So.
Exactly. No, this is something I find really admirable, is the fact that there are so many challenges which you have almost mentioned by as an afterthought on this. But this could actually deter many people. I don't get the right facility now, especially with both men and women get the kind of visibility, kind of money being pumped in. Thankfully, no one will have to go through this when they are coming up the ranks in the domestic circuit or etc. But it's very important, I think, that they realize what cricketers had to endure. So even the greatest men cricketers as well, if not, even they also had their own struggle. But it's not, it pales in comparison. Like one article I was reading about Rohit Sharma. So he had to move closer to his, to Shivaji Park, to pursue his dream. So all those things seem very small, actually, in comparison to what women's cricket and women cricketers then, and even to extent now as well, are going through. But I think it's better not to compare both of them and enjoy and revel in the fact that, yes, women's cricket is on the up and it is going to, it is only going one way, which is upwards. So I think that's how.
See, I would really want to interrupt you here and say that, success has their, everybody has their own yardsticks. Okay. Now, for you, success could be getting a certain salary from the board. Okay. Mm. And it could be women cricketers getting endorsements or whatever it is. But for me, if you really ask me, I can only talk from my point of view. And even in those days, like I said, that if your name is not coming in the newspaper, or probably your neighbor doesn't know that you have played for the Indian team, or there are not people who are able to see you in visuals, like, I would say that I've given more interviews now with my book than I ever did as a cricketer. Yeah. So you can't, but like I said, that the passion cannot diminish based on certain criteria. You understand?
Yes.
What I'm trying to say is that if you're passionate, you're passionate. You give it your best shot, and that is what I have always thought. So at no stage in life I have ever felt that, oh my God, I wish in our times this should have been like this, or oh my God, today girls are not getting enough. I think everybody has their share of success and everybody has their share of joys. And I have always been a very optimistic person, and I have always seen things only from my point of view. And if you really ask me my point of view, then I have thoroughly enjoyed the cricketing days, whether with facilities or without facilities. So, yeah, that's it.
Great. I think, moving on from that, I think it's fair to say that what the thought process behind Sonia's character in the book, the cricketer, may not be autobiographical in a way, but I think large part of her dreams, what she goes on to achieve with the records, all the journey, if you had to sum it up in one word, the journey of Sonia, large part of it could be taken from many women's cricketers, I think, journey. So I just wanted to know from your perspective, as Sonia, or as even Vinathi Desai, how it felt to play for the country. So that not there are, like in India especially, there are only 15 who get selected from a bunch of almost 50,000, 1 lakh people. And even women's cricket, if you look at it, there'll be easily thousands of players. It comes down to 30 and then to 15. And then you go and play for India. So it's not easy. So if you could explain how it felt when you got the Indian cap, because that's something which people like me would never have experienced in our life. So we can't put words to that emotion and that surreal feeling. So if you could just spend 1 minute on that experience when you made your debut for India, take you back to that day in England when you made your debut and you got the cap. So how was that feeling? And
it was sheer joy. It was sheer bliss. I felt like luckiest person on the earth, and it was such a pride for me. And I think that moment was the best moment of my life, having got the India cap. And I mean, I keep that very close to my heart. And yeah, I'm very proud. I feel privileged. I feel very lucky that I got a chance to represent my own country. There can be nothing bigger than that. Nothing bigger than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing beats that. Even even if you look at the current scenario, a lot of cricketers are chasing a plum contract in the IPL, but that is also important. But you need to have the dream to play for a country if you have the skills. And as you said, if you have the passion, you need to strive to play for the country. IPL is a byproduct of that. So hopefully many youngsters tuning in to this episode will take that to heart by saying that we want to play for the nation. It's not only playing for Chennai or Mumbai Indians or whichever franchise. So, and yeah, moving on, I just wanted to know from a personal point of view, as well, like as we grow up, we have different role models. Like I mentioned this in one of our interactions before doing this episode, how I admired Sourav Ganguly, the captain, for what he did yes. and to Indian cricket. So I think growing up in your journey as well, who are your role models? As in from a women's cricket point of view or generally any cricketers, be it Indian or any other country. And is it fair to say that now, thanks to the reach, visibility and popularity women's cricket is getting, far more female cricketers would look up to Mithali Raj, Smriti Mandana, Harmanpreet Kaur, Poonam Yadav. So they have enough role models who are playing for India already than looking at some of the male counterparts. Or do you stick to the point by saying it's one and the same. Role models are the same. Like, for example, Sachin Tendulkar was a role model probably for many aspiring women cricketers as well. So do you see any bifurcation in that sense, or is it?
No, I mean, of course, you are a sports person. Like, if I'm watching a French Open, I enjoy watching men playing it as much as I enjoy watching women. You know, it's not that you are a feminist and you only want to, you know, see matches which are related to women. It's not like that. The game is game, you know. Those days are gone when, you know, cricket was known as gentleman's game. It's no more like that. In my days, it was like that. Right. Now, when you say cricket, you have to ask. When you say cricketer, you have to ask, are you talking about a male cricketer or a female cricketer? Where few years back then, if you said a cricketer, you could only visualize, you could only think of a male cricketer. You could never think of a woman, right? That's right. Point number one. Then when we talk about really looking up to people, then who really impressed me amongst male cricketers of my time was England's captain, Mike Brearley. Okay. Oh. And he was less of a technically sound person, with due respect to him, but he was a great, great intelligent cricketer. So I have read a lot of books by him, including The Art of Captaincy, and you know, he's got, at least till my times, he had the maximum test matches that he played in most of them. He used to be the captain, and England were on a golden period trip while he was the captain. So those days it was very difficult to get cricketing tapes, but I used to save my pocket money. And there was a video library, and I used to request that guy to import those tapes for me, and he would import it, and then I could put it on the VCR. I don't know, you were too young, but we used to have the VCR, and I would play them again and again and again and just keep watching him. And as such, women cricketers, I never got to see anybody on tape, because I don't remember seeing any women cricketers tape. But when I saw Karen Hodges, was the England captain, when I visited there, I was very impressed with her batting and with her captaincy. And yeah, I mean, that was it. Okay. And if you really talk about the current cricketers or who turn around things for us, I mean, I would want to give credit to only one person, and that is Mithali Raj. Yeah, yeah. No matter how much you talk about us, as in past cricketers, the current cricketers, or the future cricketers, what Mithali Raj has done for Indian women cricket, it's just commendable. I mean, it is really not funny the way she has kept patience. Probably most of us left, but she kept playing. I'm sure that she also has traveled by trains because she started very young. She has seen those days when she has struggled, and then she has seen the board being merged with BCCI, and then in the latter half of her career when she brought India to that finals of ODI, when we, I mean, ideally, I think it was a big shock for me to have seen the team lose. And I genuinely felt that, the women middle order could have done far better than what they did. I mean, come on, you just can't expect Mithali Raj to score all the runs. And if she gets out, you can't, you're playing in the finals, right?
Yes. You need a team to support you.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't, I mean, it is a 50 over match and you're supposed to be there and stick around. And that was very heartbreaking for me. I mean, I almost, for 10 days, I was so upset after we lost. But yeah, like I said, coming back to Mithali Raj, she's the only one. She is the only person. She's the only cricketer. I started watching her bat in recent years. And I have never seen a women cricketer bat the way she does. Never seen any Indian women cricketer, at least. She is fantastic. She's fantabulous.
Absolute, no doubt. Authoritative, I think that's the word that you use.
Yes.
She completely takes control of proceedings, however tough it is. So from what I have seen her live on TV, there is a sense of self-confidence which only she can carry off, I guess. So any situation, however tough the...
And she has worked. See, what happens is, like I said, you can only see her now, okay? But of course, what goes behind that is the hard work that she would have put in when there were no support system, when there was no money, when there was no advertiser, nothing. But because she is so passionate, the passion remained for her same as when she started, till today when she's 37, and that is what matters. And I genuinely hope, and I genuinely see that India has a very bright chance in 2022 to win the ODI championship.
They do. Exactly. Yeah. So I think moving on from a great in, I think Mithali Raj would definitely go down as among the greatest represented India. So I would not use the word again, male cricketer, female, or cricketer from India, she would go among the best. So, moving on to the book again, see the cricketers. I found it a little interesting when you said that thanks to the lockdown and COVID, you are able to put pen to paper and you created this book. So, I think a little bit, if you could give a glimpse or a taste of what it took to write this book. And why I ask this is, it could be very easy to pen down an autobiography. And then, of course, I wanted also to get your take on one of the stalwarts of BCCI and Sanjay Zagdale and the personal connection you have with him. So that as well. So it could have been easy to write an autobiography. So what made you write a fictional tale of Sonia and present it to the world when you could have easily taken the easiest route, which all cricketers tend to do, even including greatest of greats like Sachin Tendulkar, Rahul Dravid, Ricky Ponting. So all of them, after they hung up their boots, they have penned down their journey, how it started off, then their domestic struggles, then how they went on to play for India, and then the journey after that. So two questions. Why a fictional tale, and why about why a story on Sonia? And second is, if you could elaborate more about your personal connect with one of the finest administrators cricket has had. I won't say even BCCI, I would say cricket has not seen too many administrators who had this kind of loyalty and passion for the sport. than this govern and pass some laws. So which certain administrators have fallen in that trap in the past as well. So I would like to get your views on these two points.
See, first we'll talk about administration. Yes. And if you really ask me, I have really always liked and admired Sourav Ganguly. It's just that he's been playing different roles. And I really want to wish him a very speedy recovery. And I also watched him a lot because he was a left-hander. And I'm also a left-hander, in case you don't know. So what I really liked about him is that he got that aggression into Indian cricketers. Mm-hmm. Before that, when you talk about sledging, you could only think of Australians, you know. And Indians are supposed to be sober and not reply and just want to reply with the bat. But I think that at times you need to express yourself, whether it is by physical gesture, whether it is by your game or whether verbally, and you just can't let the other person dominate, right? Mm-hmm. That's part number one. So he's the only guy I can think of who I think really fits into the shoe of administrator, because he's very genuine and he will always promote. You know, it's very important that if I am the brand ambassador of something, at least I should myself be loyal to that brand, right? So for him, cricket is that brand, okay? He's so loyal to cricket. He's so loyal to him being a cricketer that he I'm sure is and will always make sure that cricketers, you know, whether it is ex-cricketers, whether it is current cricketers, whether the new breed of cricketers that we'll have will always be taken care of. Now, as you talk about why I have written the fiction, I would want to tell you that I will probably think of my autobiography soon, and I will make sure that I take you through the journey of Minoti Desai. But as I've been saying again and again, that Sonia's story is a roller coaster ride, okay? Mm-hmm. It'll, somewhere or the other, all the cricketers or somebody who is aspiring cricketer or somebody who has played and left or somebody who loves the game or somebody who watches, who follows, I have tried to put all their expressions together in a fictional form, right? Mm-hmm. Suppose you have been a cricketer at, say, state level and you've been dropped and you feel that, oh, justice was not done to me. So how do you feel, you know? Or somebody who had an injury and that person had to give up. And then later on, those people might would have gone on to become very successful individual, right? Mm-hmm. So the entire story is about the spirit of a sports person, right? Now that spirit isn't in me also. That spirit isn't in you also. That spirit of being a sports person, which is cricketer for us, which could be football for some other country, which could be skating for some other country. But we as Indian, we always have loved the game. And I can only say that what really matches about me and the book is the passion I have for the game. And so I've incorporated all these various fictitious events that maybe I read somewhere, or maybe I heard about it, or maybe, like, you know, when I think about me having played for the first time, then fine, I mean, I did play with boys when I started. So there are so many women cricketers who would have played with the boys, right? So it's putting all this together in the form of, see, the difference between a autobiography and this book is that you only read about, I got there, I went to the ground, I did this, I did that, you know? So this journey that Sonia goes through is a totally different journey. And I'm emphasizing it on it because I want each and every person who has the slightest liking for the game or cricket can read it and decide it for themselves. And I can promise you, that in the book they'll find a part of them somewhere or the other. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, great. Because this is actually very right, because one way of looking at it, the autobiography versus fiction point is, one is autobiography becomes kind of monotonous, as you put it. I got up, I went to train, this happened, then I went to play. So that sort of a template, but a fiction gives you more freedom to build a drama, build lot more emotion. So I think it's great in a way. Like I am, as I said earlier, I've read lot of autobiographies and very few fictional tales, which has come from the cricket world. So
it's see, Raghav, I mean, it's not fair on my part to say that read my book, but I will, and I promise you, if you start it, okay, you will not put it down, or you will not want to stop till you finish it. That's a promise.
Yes, definitely. I am going to read it. That's for sure. So, and I am looking forward actually to Sonia's journey. I think that's one thing you have maintained as well, that this is not only about you writing the book, it is about her journey, Sonia's journey. So we need to empathize, sympathize, feel for Sonia right through the book. So that's something I am keenly looking forward to when I get the hard copy of the book.
And also Raghav, it's a very fast paced book. Okay. It's a very fast paced, it's a very upbeat, though we're talking of the times, you know, when there was no television or nothing. When you read the book, you will get lost in it. You're like, you'll not have time to think, you know. It is so fast paced that though the detailing is very fine, as in you understand the feelings that she goes through, you understand the circumstances, you understand the journey that she went through, you understand what happens on the field, you understand what happens off the field. But at the same time, it keeps you engaged, you know?
Yeah.
So I think what the feedback that I've got so far from whosoever has had a look is that they started it as wanting to know what is story about, and they just couldn't stop before they finished it. So, which is a huge, huge compliment for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. Because as I said, a lot of the cricket books or autobiographies tend to be, if you follow the game and you follow the cricketer, you can sit through the book and patiently read it. But if you don't know much about, let's say, for example, Sachin Tendulkar, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast would have watched him play. But suppose there are some people who just want to read Sachin's autobiography, after a point you'll get lost, because it details too much about what happened in a particular series, how he went, what score did he get, what score the team got, what he felt in mind. So there's a lot of detailing which will get lost if you don't follow.
See, this is what I've been emphasizing on, that it is about the spirit that Sonia has, okay? Right. And that spirit happened to be a cricketer, okay? She the cricketer. Sonia was a cricketer, but the spirit that she had, when we talk about that, so that is why I'm saying that it is not about the cricketing depth that we are going into. It's the journey of a sports person. It's journey of somebody who faces challenges in life. It's journey, who faces various events and incidents, so much so that she had to quit, right? And and thereon, like I've been saying, what happens after that? So the entire journey, it's not that, suppose you are a left-hander bowler and you don't understand what it is to bowl round the wicket, over the wicket, though in India, everybody does, you know, you also know, and I also know, but even then it sails you through, you understand, as if you are sitting with somebody and somebody's just taking you there. And, and each chapter, each chapter is, done in a, and I was myself surprised, honestly. The final shape of the book, I was very, very surprised. But it has come with a brilliant flow, good, I think, decent narration that my readers or my followers will have to tell me. But I suggest that you read it tonight, and then I'll wait for your feedback.
Sure.
So,
Definitely.
yeah.
So I think one couple of points which I think is would make this episode kind of, it won't complete this episode if I ask without asking these, that is, how would you look at women's cricket in India and its growth in the past, let's say 10 to 15 years? Because to be frank, I have been following the sport from early 2000s or since I can remember. But the first time I saw Indian women's team play on TV was as late as 2013 or 14, I think. So I think I have read a lot of articles, etc., on Cricinfo Info and on Hindu newspaper about Mithali Raj, Dulan Goswami, and all that. But I never got to see the face and how actually they play. So it was a new
Yeah,
experience for me.
I can easily say that if you tell me to give credit to the past cricketers and current cricketers, minus the television or anything, I will give it to the current players because the standard of the game from where to where they have taken. I said it in other place also that the technique used to be same, okay? The bowling may be the same. You might be able to swing the ball, turn the ball. But the way the fitness has improved, the way they have taken the, in my time when I went to England and I watched England fielders, they could slide even then, right? Their fielding standard was very high. And in my heart, I used to think that, oh my God, will we ever be able to reach their level? Of course, I can't take away the credit that, when it came to batting or bowling, we were good. But the standard has really, really lifted today, by all means, whether you talk about, I mean, look at Jhulan Goswami,
Yeah,
she is a legend. I
isn't
mean, it's
absolutely.
she's the, yeah, and it's not about my saying it. You pick up the records and compare. You pick up the records and compare women cricketer in our time and you compare the women cricketer now. I mean, they really truly deserve the acknowledgement. They truly deserve all the applauses. They truly deserve much more than what they're getting today. And yeah, I'm extremely happy because let's talk about Jhulan and Mithali. So like I said that because they started very young and played for India very young, till 5 years back, they were in the shadows of not being covered or recognized or whatever, right? But today, I mean, they are household names. Who doesn't know Mithali Raj? Who doesn't know Jhulan Goswami? At least a cricket lover would know, right? Somebody who follows cricket will
Absolutely.
definitely know these two names, and which is a big thing. And I think too much has been said about comparison that, oh my God, women cricketers should be getting more or less or whatever. But I'm of the opinion, like I said, that I look at things very positively and from where to where it has come in last 10 days, I think girls should only be happy wherever they are. And I mean, I think it's a brilliant thing that the associations are doing, the BCCI is doing. Even like I'm a selector for my own Madhya Pradesh State Association senior girls, And when I look at the facilities they give, when I look at the perks that girls get, when I look at their pickups or drops or the places they get to stay, it is fantabulous. So what are we complaining about? You can't complain when you have everything, right?
Exactly. True, true, very true. And it's come to that stage. So I think we
Of
need
course,
to
and
actually.
see, I'll give you an example. If you talk about men's cricketers, men cricketer has been into existence from last 200, 300 years, okay?
Correct, correct.
Women cricket in India has come up in 1970s. Okay,
Yeah, that's
so
one.
you can't compare something which is as old as 250 years to a 50 year old. We can
Yes.
maybe compare this after 200 years and say now they're not getting enough or getting enough or whatever it is, So I look at it very optimistically, I look at it very positively, and I'm extremely happy with what is being given on to them. I mean, look at they are so privileged to be part of India because. When
Yes.
IPL happens, obviously our girls are the maximum in numbers, right?
Yeah.
None of the other countries have been able to hold something on a platform like IPL. and we saw the coverage, we saw everything, and I think it's a huge turnaround.
Yes, yes. That is for sure, because 7 or 10 years back, no one would have thought India versus Australia final at MCC would hold a capacity of 87,184 people. So that was
unimaginable. I can challenge you. Nobody would have imagined ever.
At best, what even I felt was, yes, it would be packed, but it would be like half packed or like 60% of capacity. I didn't expect a sellout crowd, and it was truly exhilarating from a cricket lover like me to see this level of acceptance. And
look at the standard. I mean, if you look at Harman,
Yes, reminds you of Shiva.
She's like a master blaster.
Yeah.
If she's watching, you just can't get her. She's so good. So I haven't seen this standard in my day. So I can't take away the credit from her or from current cricketers. Look at the left-hander that we have. I forgot her name. Smriti.
Right?
It's so elegant, so classy. I mean, really good, really good.
And I think that one more aspect you need to note is the way they can switch gears so fast.
Absolutely.
They can block it out, or if it's a T20, they can come and tonk it from the word go. So, especially in the Big Bash, when I watched these two play, they are actually dominating there. So, I was circumspect at the start. Okay, they have been picked for women's Big Bash. Will they make any impact? But they're actually making much more impact than even the local cricketers are now. So,
And another girl that is really impressive, I don't know if you ever saw Dipti Sharma. She is so talented. You watch her bowl, you watch her bat, the fielding she does, she's a total, she's 100% there.
Right. One more person, Poonam Yadav.
Absolutely. And look at, she has put her disadvantages to her advantage, Somebody of her height couldn't have imagined that I can become such a fine bowler. But she has really worked hard.
Right. She's...
And she's just there. Yes. Imagine, she's one of the finest leg spinners I've seen. Probably the best.
And she has used the old cliche where flight is your best weapon to perfection. So
that is what I like. That is what I really like about her, that she is not frightened to fly the ball.
Exactly. In the times when people are looking to control the runs, ball more of flippers, carom balls, and all that is good as well. You need to have that in your book, but you need to ball your stock ball the most. And that's what Poonam Yadav is a champ at. So it's great to watch her ball. I think when Poonam Yadav is in the spell, I don't think I can get up, because there is something.
And she's so fearless. Yeah, that's what. See, somebody who can toss the ball, you can only toss the ball as a bowler if you're fearless.
Exactly.
Like you rightly said, the stock ball, if you're not able to use that just because you're scared that I might get hit, then you're not a bowler at all.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're a bowler, you need to have, like even Ashwin says this, R Ashwin in his YouTube channel, he said that you need to have the dil. So dil in Tamil is that gutsiness in you to flight the ball, to turn it, to ball that consistent length, make the batsman come forward and then beat the bat countless number of times and then get that elusive nick or a LBW. So you need to have that jigger in you. Yeah, that's what I was seeking earlier.
Yeah, jigger, absolutely.
So that is
what it goes, for those who can actually think about flighting or not flighting the ball, that no guts, no glory.
Right. Yes.
You have to flight it. Yeah.
Flight it. Yeah, absolutely. So I think it can go to be, my thing can go on and on if I want to, but because we have wrap this up, and in a very, I would say, if I had to ask you as Sonia. So as Sonia, what, not even as Minati Desai, no, you are completely in see the cricketer mold zone now. So as Sonia, what would you say to aspiring girls who want to take up the sport? And what
I would say, jo jeeta hai Sikandar, keep trying till you be there. Whatever is your dream, whatever is your aspiration, even if you're not a cricketer, if you love any other sport, be it chess, be it anything, just follow your dreams and work towards it. Nothing comes on a platter. You have to work hard, no matter what. Work hard, stay focused, and you'll be there. And don't forget to have another inspiration by reading my book, She the Cricketer. Her journey is all about a girl who never gave up, no matter what. So that's it. I request to you, to all the listeners, to please spare some time and read my book, She the Cricketer. Thank you so much.
Yes. And then before I end this really special episode, I also would urge my listeners who have supported me in the last few months in the growth of the podcast to please purchase See the Cricketer by Minati Desai. It will be out in a couple of days' time. So you can buy it.
The hard copy, Raghu, the hard copy will be out on Amazon in a week's time. And Kindle copy is already out today. Yes. We have brought it out today.
So I think that sums it up. So people who read books on Kindle and who want the e-book, you can purchase it right away. Or people who wait for the hard copy, like someone like me, I prefer the hard copy, but I would read this book in Kindle, I think, before I get the hard copy. So people who like to read the hard copy, I think patience is a very important virtue we need to have. So I think we'll wait patiently for the book to come. And once
it'll just come, it'll take 6-7 days. That's all.
That's it. Okay. That's it. Yeah. So I would urge my listeners to give this book a read, The Journey of Sonia. So See the Cricketer. And on that note, it's a surreal feeling for me as well to have interviewed a cricketer who has represented the country. So it's a truly great day for me in my life. And I thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Raghav. Thank you for having me over. Thank you to all the listeners who listen in to our conversation today. Thanks a lot. Good day.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.